This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, speaking to you live to tape from the frozen tundra that is Glen Burnie, Maryland. Thank you, Mother Nature. And, well, so we were kind of sort of planning on having the mermaid come back, but as it so happens, she and the entire Knox family are on COVID protocol. So that would be why you're not hearing her this week. We hope to have her back on next week or sometime soon, depending upon, well, how that goes. Well, you should, everybody listening should know in one form or another how that goes, at least if you are a loyal fan of the Caps anyway. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on that, but she'll be back, I'm sure, very, very soon. Filling in for the ailing mermaid is the one and only seamstress for the band, my lovely wife, the purveyor of Wendy's delights, Mrs. Blue Liner on point.
Hi, guys.
And it's kind of appropriate that you're with me this evening, because you're probably going to be the only one able to put up with me.
Yeah, we didn't have a good week, did we?
No, we did not. And neither did the Caps.
We had a good week. I was talking about the Caps.
Oh.
Why did we not have a good week?
Because I never got my crispy fries.
You haven't asked for crispy fries.
Well, I want crispy fries.
Well, you need to tell me before I get home from work.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. As I revealed a few weeks ago with the episode I taped with Brad Silvestro, Caps Just a Fan. Yes, I'm a Wendy's guy. So there will be shameless pluggings of Wendy's items all through the episode for my wife's benefits, because I would like to stay on her good side most of all. Anyway, and there was no
Wendy's is going to be on my good side.
What?
You plugging Wendy's is your attempt to get on my good side?
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah, it's an interesting approach, but okay.
You are in Wendy's management, yes?
Yes, I am in Wendy's management, and I just spent 10 hours at work. Do you really think I want to hear more about it?
Maybe, maybe not.
Do you want to hear anything more about your job tonight?
No, not really.
Okay, I rest my case.
Fine. But I never plugged that.
Yes, I know you never plugged that.
I never will either. Anyway, but it doesn't matter, because there were no magical McNugget minute goals this week scored anyway, so no need to mention that. All right, let's
just said.
I know I just said, but all right, let's let's try to get this over with in a positive way. Oh God. All right, so the intended schedule after
for this week would have been Monday, Wednesday. Wait a minute, didn't we play on Monday?
So the intended schedule was after the Sunday evening game, that ended in an overtime loss against the New Jersey Devils was a Tuesday evening game in Montreal against Les Canadiens. Well, that has been postponed due to the cross breeze policy that is in place by, Canada's COVID standards are a lot stricter than those down here south of the border. So until they decide that the American teams are good enough to do the crossing of the border, such games are postponed. They can't come here. We can't go there. It's a sharing the bed type of thing. It's anyone who's married and has somebody who likes to hog the sheets might.
That's why there's two blankets on the bed.
Okay, probably too much information, but anyway, you get the idea.
You brought it up.
Yeah. Anyway, the intended schedule was a Tuesday evening game against Montreal. That got postponed due to the cross-border issues, and that will be made up at an as-yet-to-be-announced later date. So it was on to this Friday evening, so that gave the Caps a four-day break, but it was a mini road trip in the Midwest. That gave the Caps a four-day break, and so the game was not played until Friday evening, the 7th, against the 2019 Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues. And I was actually looking forward to this after no hockey for 4 days, and had I known what the result would be, I would not have been looking forward to it. It started off nice. It started off really great, in fact. 2 minutes and 2 seconds.
They looked slow.
What?
They looked slow and tired the beginning of that game.
I'll get to that. If they looked slow, then how do you explain Daniel Sprong? With his sixth, assisted by Protas and Van Riemsdyk.
He was the only one who was doing a good job moving. Everybody else looked slow and tired.
That's what I don't get. How do you become slow and tired after 4 days of not playing?
The same reason why after I was out of work for a week, I was slow and tired when I went back to work. Too much rest.
Too much rest. So too much rest is bad. So is not enough rest.
Not enough. Yeah, you got to find that good spot. Like, had we had the game Tuesday night, I think we would have been okay Friday. But because that extra game, those extra days off, it disrupts your pattern and your cycle and all this other stuff, and you don't get to stay in your routine. It makes a difference.
Okay, so you thought they played like crap because they were too well rested.
No, I think they just played like crap. I don't know if the rest had anything to do with it. They just played crappy.
Well, the rest of the game went something like this. 10 minutes later, Tory Krug ties it up with also his sixth. And then the wheels really fell off after the start of the second period. Buchnevich, Sundqvist, Barbashev. Barbashev with literally a fraction of a second on the clock left. And that was probably the dagger. And Buchnevich again, 16:08 in the third. That was an empty netter. Now, I don't know if it was, I can't say if it was for a lack of trying. 27 shots on goal isn't horrible, isn't a door busting total, but it isn't horrible either.
No. Hang on a second. That's well.
27 shots for the Caps, 24 allowed. 24 the Blues got. And what were you going to interject with?
Hang on. Okay, we're not in February already. We're still in January.
We're still in January.
I gotta go back and remember I went to bed after the first period because this game was
Well, you didn't miss much.
Yeah, I know I didn't miss much because the first period there was no scoring. Wait a minute.
No, there was scoring.
We're talking about the St. Louis game, not the Detroit game.
Right. We're talking about the St. Louis game. Right. So, ladies and gentlemen, my wife, and this is how well she listens.
Keep it up.
I didn't say anything about Wendy's.
No, you didn't say anything about Wendy's. Okay, so we got...
While you're looking up whatever it is you're trying to look up.
I looked it up and I found it. I just had to figure out what game we were dealing with. I'm having issues seeing today. And I obviously don't know how to count to 13 this evening. Okay, so we got out hit. Got out blocked.
Mm-hmm.
Gave the puck away too many times.
Mm-hmm.
And got the puck taken away too many times.
Mm-hmm.
Penalties we weren't too bad on.
Well, okay, but all right. But here's probably, and the face-off we were actually slightly better. But
we're slightly better, yeah.
But here's probably the thing that killed the whole game. And I think you were going to get to it, but. And that was the power play, which was 0-3, right?
Well, plus you also have to remember that this is the first game that we had all of the D-men back in position. So they probably had to work off the rust that some of them had from COVID. Because, let's see, we got Tavari back and Schultz and Jensen. No, Jensen wasn't out.
Actually, Jensen was out.
Oh. See, I need to take notes.
You need to not go to bed after the first period, although...
Well, then I need to not be working the hours I work and being at work at 5:30 in the morning.
All right. Anyway, as I was going to get to, probably the worst part was the power play, which was a staggering 0-3. What's the O stand for? Oh, dear God in heaven, for the love of all that is Holtby, fix the power play!
Yes, they definitely need to fix the power play.
Lord Stanley Almighty, fix the freaking power play. My God, if they had been 100%, they'd have made a game out of it.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to post this at the Facebook page, but probably the best way I can illustrate the futility of the power play. I'm borrowing this from the Natural Stat Trick website. It's the heat map that shows the scoring attempts while the Caps were on the man advantage. I'm looking at that heat map right now. And
were there any shots? Okay, look. Hang on a second, okay? Just looking at I don't have that nifty little doohickey that you're looking at, okay? I probably could find something somewhere, but Jesus. Ovechkin only had 3 shots on goal the entire game. We had 3 power plays. Did he forget how to shoot the puck?
Everybody had a bad game, I would say, except Sprong. But the point I was trying to make was, In the whole of the 3 man advantages that they got, 6 minutes of ice time, 6 minutes, they only, according to the heat map, they only generated 1 scoring chance, a tiny little pale blue speck just above the high slot and below the point.
One scoring chance in 6 minutes.
In all of 6 minutes of having the man advantage, one.
That sucks. That truly sucks.
One tiny blobby area where, unless you got traffic in front, you've got no chance of scoring from that distance. Look, I was on last week with Christian, and we were being nice, I think, but I think it is time. It may well be time, high time for a coaching change. No, we Now, I don't mean LaViolette. I don't mean LaViolette or McCarthy.
You're talking about.
Or Arneil.
I know.
I don't mean those guys. You said it yourself the other night, the guy running the special teams.
But I don't even know that it necessarily needs to be a coaching change. They just need to put some different stuff in the bag. You need to shake the bag up, the bag of tricks up. You know, you get tired of chocolate covered cherries after a while and you want something different.
Well, I wasn't the one who got
it up a little bit.
I wasn't the one who got 15 boxes of chocolate covered cherries for Christmas.
No, you didn't get 15. You only got 5.
Well, it feels like 15.
Yeah, well, but you get my point. You got to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And what does the power play do right now? What is their goal on power play?
I don't know what their goal is, but what they're doing is...
No. Okay, hang on. What is their routine on the power play?
Well, their MO is...
They pass the puck
stand around and pass the puck and hope
and
to help somebody
move. And then they try to get it to
Ovechkin. Try to get it to Ovi. Right, and then he shoots and he misses. Or the
and
goalie gets
nobody
it.
Nobody in front.
Right.
So they need to mix it up.
I love the captain. I love it when he scores, and that's his thing. He's scoring from his office, but yeah.
Right, and that's fine and dandy, but after 17
I think
years,
the other
years,
right, the other 31 teams have figured it out. And right. Even if he, you know, dives naked into the fountain of youth again, ain't no way that's going to change anything. So,
well, okay. So here's the thing, though. We've got all these big bodies that they can be putting out on the power play. We got Protas and we got Wilson. We got big bodies out there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They need to
put them big bodies in front of the net.
And I'm sure Alan May, no less a guy than Alan May, has said that at least 500 times.
Yeah, well, the coaching staff needs to be listening to some of us.
I would like to see Protas for one, Wilson for another. That's the role that normally TJ Oshie plays. He's the guy in the middle, pausing, making stuff happen.
And Oshie has had some issues this year,
staying healthy, and yeah, that's right. Has not helped.
No, well,
in the least.
The entire team has had issues staying healthy this year.
Well, yeah, well, that's I don't buy that as an excuse because
I don't buy it as an excuse either because look at how much we did earlier.
That plus other teams have had to deal with the same thing. Case in point, the game afterward. More on that later.
Yeah, well, I have my opinions on the game last night, and yeah.
Well, fine. We'll get to that, and
we'll get to that later.
That's interesting because you know you took the non crispy fry route and this cold and soggy fry route and went upstairs early for that one too because you had another open to do.
Yeah, I know, but I did turn the game on and was listening to it while I was upstairs.
You know, I was turned on to this game except for the very well how it ended, but that's another story. Anyway. No need to beat a dead horse. It was a pretty bad loss, 5-1, and the only highlights were to me anyway. Of course, Sprong's goal. Well, the penalty kill was a perfect 2-for-2, so there was that. And Zach Fucale came up and did the janitorial stint, mopped up for the game, didn't allow a thing. Although he was pulled for the extra attacker and they scored, but that doesn't count against him.
No.
So he had run up his NHL shutout sequence to about Okay, so he had shut out the Detroit Red Wings in his first appearance.
It was like 79 minutes and 6
79, seconds. Right, because he played 19 minutes in this game. So 79 minutes, and yeah. So he would take that into the next game, which I thought was a brilliant stroke. He would start the very next game, which was the tail end of a back-to-back. Yeah, this is the one. I wasn't too mad about the St. Louis game because the Blues are actually a pretty good team. Yeah, they actually had Tarasenko out, probably one of their best players. Well, not probably, but they're still a decent team. They're still a pretty good team. So I'm not surprised that, they came out flat and St. Louis was just flat out the better team that game. So I was disappointed, but not all that surprised. This game, though, I was expecting a bit more because Minnesota is, well, let me do a quick check of the standings. Minnesota.
Didn't Minnesota, they're sitting at 20 wins. We're sitting at 20 wins as well.
They were at 20 wins before last night, and they are currently in a wild card spot.
In that particular division, you've got the Knights with 23 wins, and Nashville with 23 wins, and St. Louis with 21 wins, and Colorado with 21 wins. I mean, them being in
They're not, well, point being, Minnesota's not bad, but they're not as good as I would say a Colorado or a St. Louis, whom they are trailing in the standings. Anyway, and on top of which, let me set the stage here. On top of which, they were missing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yes, I know. They were missing
nine regular players.
Yes, I know. And they're top two defensemen or something?
Right. And on top of that, they were also missing probably one of the best young players in the league right now, Kirill Kaprizov. God knows what the result would have been had he had some ice time in this game. But they had to sit him, I think he was either ill or injured, but anyway, he was out of this game, and so were the other eight regulars. So you figure maybe this team isn't right for the picking, but it should have been, I don't know, maybe not as competitive.
Yeah, but okay, but you got to take a look at it though too. I mean, look at how many games we played. I mean, we've gone without our four. We've played one game, two games with all four centers.
That's because
they're missing a lot of players from the regular roster does not mean they're not going to be competitive.
They've got 20 wins. I get that, but it does mean they are less ready, a less cohesive unit, and probably. I don't know. I don't know if they took them lightly or what the hell happened here. But point being, this...
I can tell you what the hell happened last night.
Well, we'll get to that. But point being, this should have been a win and was not.
Well, again, I can tell you what happened.
All right. What? Okay, fine. Tell me what happened.
They didn't wait. They stopped playing before the whistle blew. And Hagelin scored for the other team.
we'll get to that. Let's just jump into the scoring summary. First period, no goals. No goals, and then 2:41 in the second. Connor McMichael with his fifth, who was actually a healthy scratch the game before. So he responded to that. which is good. It started off well. All signs pointed well. Connor McMichael charged the net, jumped in front of a point shot from Nick Jensen and tipped it in for the 1-0 lead. And then 3 minutes later, Okay. So you out there listening on the earbud through whatever you're listening through, earbuds, speakers, what have you, promise me that when you hear this, you won't faint. But the Capitals actually scored a power play goal in this game.
Woohoo!
I'll say it again. The Washington Capitals actually scored a power play goal in this game.
And it was an away game.
And it was on the right. And it was on the road. And it was not by Alex Ovechkin. Although he assisted on it.
You know what? An assist is fine.
Right.
But they scored.
Well, actually, if you look at the replay, you would think that it was an Alex Ovechkin power play goal, except it wasn't scored by him. It was scored by Evgeny Kuznetsov. And as I posted in the Facebook page at the time, it was probably the best imitation I've ever seen of Alex Ovechkin. So, all right, so here's the replay. So, faceoff win. And Ovechkin gets it from the left circle, dishes it over to Kuznetsov to the right circle. Okay, so it's all right. So it's Bizarro Ovechkin, if you want to put it that way, not the left circle, but the right circle. Yeah. Okay. So
yeah,
brilliant pass by Ovechkin.
And it was a power. Yeah.
And so. Eller was the center, and he won the faceoff. Now, did he get credit? He should have gotten credit for the primary assist. Yes, he. Well, yes. Well, okay, it's a secondary assist, actually. So he wins the faceoff.
Right, because it was Ovechkin who passed
right.
it. Yeah,
Ovechkin. Ovechkin picks up the faceoff win, and then slides it over to the right circle to Kuznetsov, who buries the one timer for his 12th. I will say it again, because I don't know how often I'm going to get to say this. It is a power play goal. and then it looked like, the rest of the game, it really looked like the Caps were going to take control and maybe not run away with it, but at least remain in control.
Right. It did. We looked like we were playing. We looked good.
And then.
A delayed penalty.
Right. But even more so, it started with a delayed penalty, but before that, I want to make a petition here. If I were involved in the DC city government, well, instead of traffic cameras, instead of speeding cameras, you know what they auto install?
What?
They auto install a recording of Joe Beninati screaming, "Look out!"
But, you know, here's what I don't get about that. I know they thought the other team had possession. But until the damn whistle blows, you don't stop playing.
Well, yeah, and that wasn't the only thing that blows, but... Yeah, no, that's, I don't think it was that they stopped playing. It was just.
Yeah, because you can see Hag sit there. He's like, oh shit. And then he didn't try to go get it.
It wasn't quite like that. I think Hagelin, honestly, I am far from a Hagelin apologist. If you saw my Twitter feed, I was giving it to him pretty good. But I think Hagelin was, you know, trying to cycle the puck as best he could. And look.
No, I get that. He was trying to cycle and he was trying to do what he thought he needed to be doing. But as soon as he saw and knew that there was an open net and he saw that the player he was passing it to didn't get the puck, you got to move after the puck. You don't just stop.
Well... not a whole lot he could have done, though. He was behind the other team's goal. Did you see the replay?
Hang on a second.
He was below the goal line. He was trying to make a cycle to the guy on the point. And it was a bad timing play.
Hang on. No, when Hagelin made that pass, he was not below the goal line.
I'm I'm punching up the replay now.
The replay. No, he's up like halfway through the circle. I mean, yeah, he's on the outside, but.
Okay, well, point being, you don't run, what was he supposed to do? Right? What was he supposed to do? It was a hard pass.
Hang on.
I'm looking at it.
It was a hard pass. Yes, I admit. And you're right. There's nothing he probably could have done. But you still put out the effort and try.
Well, he looked like somebody had just
knocked the air out of his sails.
Shot his dog or something because he did generally feel bad about it.
No, I know he does. But like I said, I mean, you still, you know, okay, hang on. Since you keep bringing up Wendy's, if we screw something up for somebody, do I say, okay, well, shit, I can't make it right, so why bother trying? No, I get back out there. Today we had somebody come in somebody came in today, said her food was cold. What did we do? We got it right for her. You still try. Even if we screwed up three times or screwed up a second time or whatever, we still put the effort out to make it right.
And again, I'm not a Carl Hagelin apologist, but it's not like he didn't try the rest of the game.
Right,
when he was out there.
In fact, I mean, they did try the rest of the game. I get that, but
I will even go as far as to say this. I think he was trying to do the Caps a favor and kill the power play before they had a chance to screw it up.
Wait a minute. Why would he run out? They weren't on the power play yet.
That was meant to be a joke.
Oh.
But
yeah, because remember, that was what they, like I said, though, but the whole team stopped playing. They thought they heard, they did. I mean, because I can't see who it was that the puck went past.
Kuznetsov was the closest to the puck at the time. And I think he misread the play.
Hang on a second. I got to wait for it to load up again.
If anything, it's probably to a degree his fault as well.
Right, I know, because like he sat there and is like, well, I'd like it. Hang on a second. I got to get it to.
Well, I'll describe it for you, and you watch it when it comes. You watch it as it comes up and see if you agree with me.
Okay, No. Hang on. Yes. Kuzi was who he was trying to get it to.
That's what Kuzi's I said.
On the half wall, just shy of the blue line. He turns around and watches it go to. Watch the replay. You see Kuzi?
Yes.
And they both just sit there and watch it go.
Hagelin thought he would be in a certain spot, and Kuznetsov went to a different spot on the point. And yeah, he was going in the opposite direction, and he turned his head, and yeah, the puck whizzes by.
Right.
Hagelin zigged, and Kuznetsov zagged. Basically, what happened. I was not very happy with that at the time, and
none of us were very happy with that.
No, to the point of probably destroying property that wasn't mine. But
what did you destroy?
I did nothing. I meant wanting to.
I'm like, I was downstairs. I didn't see you break anything.
Well, the desire was there. Let's just say that. Anyway.
Oh yeah, I know the desire was there, but my point was, they saw. I mean, yes, I know they were still waiting on a whistle to blow. And we're gonna go back and forth on this one all night.
We're beating a dead horse, but
yes, I know we're beating a dead horse, and it needs to be done. Hagelin gave the Wild the spark they needed, and then they came out and played their asses off.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. And then it became after that, then it became I used this phrase against in a previous game, but it became probably a needlessly exciting game in that. Well, instead of putting it away, the Caps in their own way made it, you know, exciting for the Caps, though they did in total, they did get 31 shots on goal. Now I'm going to see if I can pull up the heat map for this game and see if that, well, the 5-on-5 anyway, was any better. I would like to think it was, given that they got more shots on net and therefore had more scoring chances in total. All right, so I'm pulling that up, and well, let's see, 5-on-5, pretty much the same, except more chances overall. A little bit more blobs in close, but their goalie, Kähkönen,
God, he was standing on his, he was.
I don't know where they got this guy, but they need to keep him because he was outstanding. I got to give credit to him. And okay, so I'm looking at the 5-on-4 heat map. Much better, much, much better. I'm seeing several blobs in several different places. Of course, the one from the right circle where Kuznetsov scored, but one in close, one from the left circle, a couple of point shots. So not great, but better overall effort.
Oh yeah.
But so maybe in one sense it was the goalie, you know, blocking them at every turn, and I think part of it
I know there was a goalie blocking them at every turn because there was that one that the puck got stuck underneath of his pad, and there was a whole bunch of shots like that that should have gone in.
Right. And I don't know if they just let, you know, well, okay. I'm going to use a phrase that I've never used before. I would never use it, but the only phrase I can think of that would make any sense, although I don't think it really applies. They got halocked, which means basically, You get stymied by a goalie so many times, and it gets in your head, and you're not as apt to make as many scoring attempts because that goalie is in your head. I don't think that really was happening here.
I don't think that could have worked with it because this is the first time they faced them.
Yeah, but anyway, so. It looked like the Caps were going to pull out the win because Fucali, let's not forget about him.
Oh, no.
Zach Fucali, who started this game, was also incredible despite, having only a one goal lead, even though he had not given up that goal himself. That's going to be one to tell the grandkids how to explain that to them. But they held onto the lead all the way up to 35 seconds left. And trust me, I've seen a lot of things take 35 seconds. I'm not going to get into my private life, but I've seen a lot of things take 35 seconds, and including your life flashing by. So Matt Zuccarello gets his ninth with 35 seconds left. And yeah, as far as mistakes go, if you're going to blame the guy for one guy for one, you got to blame another guy for another. It could be said that maybe Zach Fucali wanted this one back. But I think he did all he could on this one. If you look at the replay and they went back and forth in the post game about it, did he have a good sight line on it? Was it deflected?
I haven't seen this one.
The official call based on the app. The app calls it a tip-in. I don't think it was a tip-in. I don't think it was touched on its way in at all. I think it was a perfect line. Fucali was lined up against it, and somehow it just got between, well, Locker calls it the seven hole. Somehow it squirted through. If you want to be really vulgar about it, it was an armpit fart goal, is what it was. And Fucali had the line on it, but
it took a weird deflection.
Well, I watched this thing about four or five times last night. I didn't see it change direction. And if it did change direction.
It changed direction.
Well, okay. If it changed direction, it went off a Caps player and not off of the Minnesota guy in front. Foligno.
Okay, but
because Zuccarello was the one who shot it, and he got credit for the goal. So if it went off of somebody, it was a Cap player.
Oh, okay. Hang on a second.
Watch it again.
I'm looking. I've got to wait for it to tee back up again because, you know, it's...
Yeah, there's got to be, 50,000 ads. Yeah, of course. All right. I'm going to queue it up myself. I'm going to watch it again
myself.
Okay,
I got to go, and hang on.
But watch the guy, I think it's Carlson, in front of...
Oh! Yeah, no, it bounced off Fucali's pad and went underneath.
And yet they're calling it a tip-in, but the shot was from the circle.
How can they call it a tip-in?
I don't know. That ever since the NHL took over the app, that app has been shit. I'm sorry.
They're calling it a tip-in when he is at the blue line.
No, he's at the top of the circle when he's shooting it.
Oh, okay.
He's at the top of the circle, or beyond the top of the circle.
He's just past the top.
Yeah, the Wild player didn't get it, and yeah, you're right. It hit Fucali. I think
it hit his pad, and then it bounced off, and then went through. Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those crazy things. I don't think. If you look at it the first 10 times, you say,
yeah,
well, he should have had
it. He
should have had it, but.
It bounced off his damn knee under the pad. And then shot under his armpit.
Yeah, that was just one of those, and Al Koken said it best, if I can quote him. You can just chalk it up to goofy shit that happens.
Yeah, that was definitely, yeah.
And then sent it on to overtime. Now, this overtime, I got to say, it wasn't the typical overtime where Caps act like they're on the power play and skate slowly with it, like somebody needs some Geritol and then give it up. And then after 3 minutes of looking like they're trying to win the game but not winning the game, give up the winning goal. That didn't happen, thank goodness, but... They were actually engaged in this 3-on-3. They actually had some pretty good chances. Sprong's break, I think it was about three and a half minutes in, Sprong's attempt, where he picked up the puck and then just charged right in.
Mm-hmm.
And had he been able to lift the puck, say, 2 more inches upward, that would have gone in. And he did the exact same thing in the dreaded shootout, and it failed there too. And, speaking of the shootout, yeah, that's where the game went, and that's where the game was lost. And, yeah, first thing I grabbed was the foam brick, and I hurled it as hard as I could at the TV. And, because I also had to work early this morning, I refrained from grabbing an adult beverage after that. Looking at the overall stats, Caps were marginally better, just ever so slightly better, except where it counted in the faceoff dot, and that was the last.
No,
that
we were
one of the last
on the faceoff dot.
We were, but they lost. pardon me, they lost that critical faceoff that allowed the Wild to gain possession in the dying seconds of the game.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm sorry, but that was a funky-ass bounce on that puck.
Yeah, I know. And you can't.
And
if you can't blame, you know, if you're going to absolve Hagelin, then you have to treat Fucali the same way.
Right.
So, it wasn't a game they were meant to win, but it was a game they should have won on paper, but that's why they play the games.
Yeah, well.
And, you know, I don't know. They still need to fix the damn power play because, yeah, they got one goal. But
one goal isn't going to.
They got five chances. This was a power play. Once upon a time, this power play could be counted on to get at least two goals a game.
I know.
And on paper, they did a lot of things right. It's just they could not close out the game. And look, there are some fans who are concerned, and I think rightly so, that come playoff time, that if these habits are not corrected, then we're looking at another one and done.
Right.
Well, you know what? I can't say that these fans are wrong. Now, the difference in the playoffs is going to be power play chances aren't going to come so easily, for one. And if you do go to overtime, it's not the ridiculous 3-on-3 and then shootout. Everybody plays 5-on-5, and everybody has a job to do, it's not a glorified skills competition. So I two losses like this would normally not bother me. What I am concerned about is that they're developing a pattern to
with the
power play and approaching games that go into extra time. And mm-hmm. the fact that they cannot, for some reason, simply close out games when they have the lead late in a game. It's the same thing. Yeah. It boils down to the same thing Anna and I would always complain about. Where's the 60-minute effort? And
yes.
I think the effort was there in their minds, but they didn't. It just didn't, for whatever reason, did not translate into a result. I wish I could put my finger on what it was. Maybe some of the advanced stats, if I had a chance to look at it. Now, certainly the heat map tells a story of some sort of effort. If I had a chance to look at the advanced stats, maybe that would say something. But, you know, 1 minute left in the game, you've got a slim lead. You have to do everything you can to protect it. I don't know that happened. And it was to their detriment. And, you know, we're sitting here, we're grasping at straws, trying to find answers. And
I'm sure coach has given them. Yeah.
I don't think the answer is a tough practice. I don't think the answer is a tongue lashing or benching people. They're just going to have to sit down and figure it out for themselves, how to get into the habit of closing out close games. And until they learn to do that, I hate to say it, but it may well be that it's a one and done that they're looking at. I would like to think otherwise, that other results are possible, and they are. I'm not down on this team by any stretch, but
oh no, definitely not.
There's habits that are creeping back in that they need to start, you know, addressing now.
Oh yeah, definitely, because I mean, we are getting close to halfway through the season.
Right. And I don't have any doubt that barring an epic collapse, this team will make the playoffs, but it's not enough to make the playoffs anymore. I would like to see, you know, I'd love to see them get past the first round, love to see them make another run. Everything you know, we've seen out of this team shows that they're capable of that.
Mm-hmm.
But then this kind of a game comes up against a so-called lesser team, and they can't close the deal. And, you know, I'm not going to say it takes away my faith in them, but it's, it doesn't bode well. It really doesn't. Yeah. So I guess it's going to come down to, when they face the same situation later on in the season and in the playoffs. So that's as far as my thinking takes me. I wish I had the answer, but I don't.
It's not for us to have the answer.
I get that. My point being was that, like Brad Silvestro, I too am just a fan. Right. I wish I had a silver lining and, to offer, other than, Zach Fucali continues to impress.
Oh, yes, definitely.
I think he is, in my mind anyway, probably ought to be the goalie of the future. I really can't see the Caps hanging on to him unless they make him part of their immediate future. The guy is 26, 27 years old?
26.
He is ready. 26?
Mm-hmm.
He's ready. He is ready for a full-time NHL job, be it as a 1A, a backup, or starter, right the hell now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he's shown that in the two plus games he's played. I mean,
you can't
fault him for...
No. I would not put any of this on him at all. Not certainly not the St. Louis game, but this loss either.
Well, we can't put St. Louis on him. He was only in the last...
Yeah, I know. I'm saying he's probably been one of a few bright spots in this whole week. So, and it's a great problem to have, but ultimately teams are going to start asking, well, is he available? What do you want for him? And that's why I keep saying, well, you know what? Maybe you make a deal. Maybe you trade one of your three goalies for extra help come the deadline or the draft.
Right, but do we trade Fucali or do we trade?
They got to figure that out. They got to figure that out.
And that's where it's going to get tricky because, I mean, isn't Vanecek and his...
Well, Vanecek and Samsonov are both restricted free agents after this year. So that gives management an advantage in that they control their immediate destiny. Remember, restricted free agent means you get essentially right of first refusal. And you're pretty much, tied to that team, except if some other team makes an amazing offer that the original team doesn't want to match, is what it comes down to.
Right.
I don't see anybody doing that, but and then you've got Fucali, who is playing out of his mind and is basically making the statement that he wants to stay with the big club. He's ready for full-time, big-time duty. And I would hate to see him end up on another team, but they have to make a decision, and it's going to be sooner rather than later. And, I hate to sound like I'm playing this tune over and over again like a really bad DJ, but come the deadline or the draft, one of those three, I can almost guarantee it, one of those three will be gone.
Oh, yeah.
Because you cannot hang on to assets like that forever. Somebody somewhere is going to make an offer.
Plus, there's still Copley and Hershey.
That's still right. And number four right there. You know, Copley could probably step in and be a decent backup when he has to. So maybe that's the silver lining, that they can get some, you know, even more help or stock up for the future based on how rich they are with goalies. So maybe that's the silver lining right now, other than, you know, the Caps are still a good team. They will make the playoffs. They're not going to collapse. They will make the playoffs. It's what they're going to do when they get there. And if they have to rely on the young guys, can they come through in the playoffs is going to be probably going to be the biggest question. They've got about 40 plus games to figure that out. So,
yeah, well, I'm not so concerned about the young guys. I think most of them have had enough development in Hershey that they should be okay. I mean, based on what we're seeing from them so far, I'm not worried about the newbies.
Well, maybe your McMichaels, your Brett Leeson, those guys, I'm not too worried about. I don't know that Alexeyev or Lucas Johansson, those guys, the younger guys, the real young guys.
Oh, you mean the guys that have only played a game or two?
Right. I don't think they are ready yet.
Oh, no, but I don't think we're going to, I mean, knock on wood, I don't think it'll get to the point where we get that desperate.
Right, no.
I mean,
but
we've got Barboza, and there are so many other players in Hershey that we can call up if need be.
Right, no, I'm not worried about guys like McMichael or Leeson or, you know, those guys who have come up and stuck. I'm not worried about them. If they have to fill in or stay on third line duty, that's fine by me. I haven't seen anything. McMichael could be a little bit more consistent on the other side of the puck, on the defensive side of things. But other than that, he's not terrible. He's not too far out of place.
No, I don't think any of the guys on the regular rotation, any of the rookies on the regular rotation, I don't think I'm not going to call them a detriment by any stretch of the imagination.
No. And that's mainly Leeson and McMichael, maybe throw in Scarbosa in there as well. And Protas as well. Don't want to forget about him. But yeah, though, maybe those four guys, if you have to keep them in your main 12 forwards in your four lines, I'm not worried about that at all.
Right, and like I said, I mean, we still have a bunch of talent in Hershey that if it came to it, we can call some of them up. I mean, Gersuch has been on a streak in Hershey this last week.
I almost forgot about him. I've been wondering why they
scored. He scored like five or six. I don't know exactly how many. I know one game he scored twice. Oh, actually, no, he's had two games where he scored twice.
Yeah, he was like player of the week in the AHL, I think.
Yeah, he was. So, I mean, we still have more depth that we can call on.
Yeah, and that's going to be critical when we get to the warmer months and there's, extended travel. So, it's going to be the deepest team that is going to make the strongest run for
it's
the cup.
Make the strongest play. Well, we just need to get healthy and stay healthy.
Yeah.
Non-COVID related illness stuff is starting to concern me.
Yeah, it is. And maybe that'll go away when winter finally goes away. But,
Well, no, I think. I think the timing of it is a little questionable. It just seems.
How do you figure?
Really, it just seems odd to me. I mean, we finally get Backy back. He plays two games and he goes down with COVID. And then he plays one game and is out with his non-COVID-related injury or illness. And they put him on injured reserve. So does he have long COVID and just doesn't have the strength to play? And while he's not technically got COVID anymore, he may be having some of these side effects. And that's what worries me. I mean, especially since he went through the extended rehab with his hip and stuff like that. Did he not get the strength up where he needed to be 100%? I mean, the two games we saw him in, he looked great. But it just, it concerns me because the players that were out on COVID, Backe and Oshie and now Vanacek, all three of them were out on COVID. And now they're out again on non-COVID-related illnesses.
Yeah. So
is it really non-COVID-related or is it a side effect of the COVID?
Yeah, and that kind of bothers me too, but if not for the fact that we were coming up on break on another sort of extended break.
But how much of that break are we actually going to get to keep because of how many games are going to have to be replayed?
Well, that'll be interesting to see as well. So let's
because
segue.
As of right now, I don't see where they've rescheduled any of these games.
Well, I think they still have to figure that out. But let's segue into previews of coming in, attractions because we're running out of time here. Okay, so next game is tomorrow night back at Capital One. If they don't get up for this game, I don't know what the hell. Because
they need to get up and they need to show up because
Right. It's back home, Cap One, 7 o'clock puck drop against the Boston Bruins. Then they have
not
another
Boston.
Huh?
You said it wrong.
Isn't that how you people say it?
Not Boston. You said you had too much emphasis. Your O turned into an A.
Well, however you people say it.
Look, my people ain't been there in many, 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 many moons.
All right, fine. Anyway, after that game is a 4-day break, which, like you said, they could use to reinsert some postponed games.
Right.
So that'll be interesting to watch.
I don't think they're going to because then it's another back-to-back.
Right. So that they would have to figure out.
Oh, hang on a second. It's supposed to be a back-to-back. The second game is against Vancouver, and we don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, no. The second game of the week is actually Saturday in Long Island. 2 o'clock.
No,
I said
the second of the back-to-back. And they're goddamn matinees at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, I know. I was just about to say.
You know what's going to happen, right?
I know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen, but let's let the games play out and hopefully it won't happen. But so they have, they don't play again until a quick trip up to Long Island against the Islanders, 2 o'clock puck drop there. Then they turn around, come home, Sunday, 2 o'clock game. That's going to be interesting because we'll be recording right after, scheduled to be against Vancouver. I don't know if the cross breeze restriction will still be in effect by then. But if it is, then that game will be postponed as well. If not, then they'll just play. That'll be interesting because Coach Bruce, there it is, will be returning home. And he's got his team on a hot streak. What are you going to say?
I mean, they definitely do have. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I would love for them to be able to play, but.
And the next scheduled game after that is Tuesday, supposed to be hosting the Jets. Yeah, that should say to be announced because again, we don't know for sure if the policy will stay in effect.
Right. But so, I don't like the fact that they haven't made a decision yet.
Well, I think they're still trying to, what was it, 90 games or something that were ended up being postponed?
It's a mess load of games that have been postponed.
That's a lot of games to figure out in a short space of time. And, you know, you got to figure out arena availability and.
Oh, right. You got to figure out the arena availability and all this other stuff. And it doesn't help the basketball's in play and all this other stuff. I get all of that. My point is I'm concerned with the fact that the Canadian government hasn't said one way or the other if these games will be allowed to continue. It's the government that's stopping the plays going back and forth, not the NHL.
Well, you know, they're going to take their sweet time. You know, you can't.
Yeah, but wasn't the travel ban in effect through the end of January?
Don't know. I'd have to look at that. But I mean, as much as everybody wants to bang their heads about this, look, you know, the government is going to be in control, and you just have to let them figure it out.
And we have to do what we can to keep players safe and keep everybody else safe. And I get that, and I understand the reasoning behind it. I mean, I mean,
yeah,
I read an article that states why, while Canadian numbers are down and why they're still on lockdown in a lot of places, why we're not, while they have free health care, they don't have the number of hospitals and beds and stuff like that we do. So they have to stay locked down to keep the spread. I get that. I understand that. That makes perfect sense to me. But a decision has to be made. I mean, if we bring the Canadian teams down and put them in a bubble and we do like we did a modified version from 2020.
That is the last thing I want. I don't want another bubble. I don't think that's the right way to handle it.
I'm not even saying it has to be a bubble. Just bring the Canadian teams down and put them in a bubble, let them set up, and then they can then spend their 2 weeks in quarantine doing what they need to do. Or wait a minute. Is it us going over the border or them coming to
us? It's both ways. It's both ways.
Oh, it was both ways? Okay.
Because the Caps, they were supposed to play Ottawa the last Monday of December, and that got postponed. That's one of the games that got postponed.
Right. Okay, hang on a second.
You know, I think both teams at the time had enough players to field rosters, but since, you know, it was around then that the Canadian government stepped in and decided, okay, well, we're not letting our guys in, and nobody comes the other way. You know, I'm pretty sure it was both ways.
Okay, so here's the thing. Okay, so, I mean, this is an old article. This article was written on the 19th of December. It was the NHL and the Players Association that made the decision to stop the stop traveling starting Monday through Thursday before the travel break, the Christmas break. So let's see if there's anything updated. Aha! See, I found it. Okay, updated as of, no, that's June. Never mind, that was last year.
No, I don't think, there would have been some sort of announcement by the league by now if there was a decision made. I haven't heard anything, so I don't think there has been.
Yeah, everything I'm seeing about an agreement for travel was last year. So it doesn't look like there has been an agreement made.
No, there hasn't. I think it's still open and they're trying to figure it out. And I think what's going to happen is, just to close out this topic, is I think what's going to happen is they're going to use the All-Star break, the extended All-Star break that was they were going to use for the Olympics to schedule all of the postponed games.
Right.
I still think that's what they're going to do. And they're trying to figure out the logistics of that. So I would be very surprised if we don't hear anything by the end of the month.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying, though. If they haven't made a decision yet and they're still trying to figure this out, well, I mean, unfortunately, I don't know. I don't have a full schedule of games or anything, but
we're still barely into the new year. We're still only, 9-10 days into January. So there's some time. So anyway, so no sense speculating any further about that. Okay. The schedule's going to play. It's going to play out.
This was my point. They have already postponed the games for Monday.
This coming Monday?
The Canadian games that were supposed to take place on Monday, the 10th, have been postponed.
Okay. All right.
Now,
so
games have not been postponed yet.
Okay. So up to that date, then the border policy is in effect, unless we hear otherwise. So we're just going to have to take it.
I know. We're going to have to take it one day at a time.
Yeah. Just like a really bad, 70s sitcom. So anyway.
That it was bad, but okay. I know you didn't like it. That's fine.
Anyway. Right. Anyway. Okay. So, we've gone on pretty long. Hopefully not too long for you out there listening. Thanks for bearing with us for another episode. You out there in the state of Maryland, Commonwealth of Virginia, and District of Columbia, and everywhere else around the globe. Thanks for bearing with us for another episode. We'll see you in the games that we described. Hopefully there won't be too many major changes to the schedule. And like Joby. Well, I was just getting to that. Like Joby and Locker were saying, hoping against hope that at the very least, Oshie and Backstrom make their way back to the lineup Monday night, tomorrow night. We'll see. That would be a great boon to them if they were, but we'll see. And as always, if I hear anything on Twitter comes across my radar, I'll be sure to post that on the Facebook page. All right, so we've come to the end. So for the Mrs. Blue Liner, this is the Blue Liner on Point, the Blue Liner on Point, signing off and reminding you that, well, maybe I don't know what the word apocalypse means, but you know what? It's not the end of the world.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
Hallelujah, and let's go, Caps.
Go, Caps!
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.